Welcome back to another broadcast. You can learn so much by the world and the life that's all around you. As you learn about God, you see His wonder. As you look at the sunrise or the sunset and the clouds, you see the miracles of nature as plants grow. It's just amazing. We learn things from the Bible, and then we see these things demonstrated, or we see things that are happening around us, and then we search the Bible and we find answers as to why those things occur. I've been talking a good bit about trauma, which reminds me, my wife and I had rescued a German Shepherd back in 2013. Apparently, it had lived somewhere in the inner city of Philadelphia, and I guess it wound up getting away from its owners. It was hit by a car. It had a broken hip, and someone tried to help the dog, so they tied it to a cyclone fence, and the dog stayed there for about 2 days before the Humane Society came by. It was a kill shelter, so somebody who has a heart for animals rescued that, took it to the doctors, wound up getting it treated, the surgery that it needed, and after about close to a year of rehab is when we had adopted the dog. And this dog has been traumatized. It's terrorized by bicycles, so apparently people rode bicycles by it and taunted it. It's afraid of gunshots, maybe because it was in Philadelphia, I don't know. But gunshots, loud noises. But as I was talking in a previous broadcast about constantly people who are traumatized live in a state of alarm, that's how this animal is. That if I walk up to it and it's not paying attention to me getting close to it, and I happen to just touch it, the dog will jump like a spooked animal, kind of like if you scare a bird, or if you've walked through the woods and you've startled a deer, or you've scared a squirrel that scampered away, or a rabbit. That's the way this dog is. It's hypervigilant all of the time, because what trauma does is it causes not only an individual to look at the sum of their blessings in their life and look at the trauma that they're having and saying that the trauma is worse than the sum total of their blessings. It not only has them longing for death like we saw from the book of Job, or there's a burning, slicing, a running over of their soul, or they're living in a state of alarm. And so if I clap or I touch this animal, it jumps. And you know, people who've been traumatized live like that. Sometimes if they're not ready and you just walk up and tap them on the shoulder and they become startled because they were touched on the shoulder when that abuse took place. They were grabbed on the shoulder when they were mugged as they were walking down the street. You and I have been in those situations where we're zoning out, you know, maybe we're reading a book or we're thinking about something, and somebody goes over and touches us, and we were in another distant place, another planet, just deep in thought, and like they scare the living daylights out of us. But that only happens to you and me once in a great while. But people who have been traumatized, this is how they live all of the time. So it's difficult to be married to a person who's been traumatized. It's difficult to be the parent of a child who's been traumatized. It's difficult to understand individuals in the church who bring the baggage of hurts, these wounds that go deep into the innermost part of their being. They're constantly living in a state of alarm. Will something else just like that, or as bad as that, happen to me again? It's not a great way to live, but a good thing is that the Lord is able to deliver. Now, we're not talking about just the deliverance that comes with salvation, because there are some people who have been traumatized after they've come to trust Christ as Savior. And Christ is still their hope. He's still their strength. He's still their refuge. And we're going to talk more about that in future broadcasts, about what you and I can do for individuals who have been traumatized, who have been wounded greatly, whether it's war veterans who've come back, whether it's people who've been molested, or people who have been abused or even assaulted. I'll tell you what, I was witnessing late night down in Center City, Philadelphia, And a buddy of mine, we confronted a Muslim. This is back in 1982. Wasn't long after that, we were running down the alley. We were being chased by him. And next thing you know, somebody pulls out a pistol and sticks a gun right in my face. I'll tell you what, I was terrorized. I was just so thankful that it was a policeman who saw this event taking place. But can you imagine if it didn't end in good, but it ended in a terrible event? What would I be living like day to day? I would be living like what we're describing in these broadcasts about trauma. Now, let me just do a sidebar. We're talking about this for a while, and I'm going to constantly, as I do these broadcasts, kind of look at what we've covered in previous broadcasts. So there's always going to be a little bit of review, and I want to encourage you to get somebody to listen to this with you. Invite them to your home so they can listen to the broadcast. Or if you've purchased this message or you've downloaded it for free, hey, invite them to listen to this with you, because I want to be a help not only to you, but also to them. So let's continue with Job chapter number 6 and verse number 7. What is another effect of trauma, or what are some characteristics that people who have been traumatized may be displaying? And one is, people who are traumatized will withdraw. Look at Job chapter 6, verse 7. The things that my soul refuseth to touch are as my sorrowful meat. And what he's really saying is that things that normally you would partake in, whether it's food or whether it's engaging in conversation with people, going out into society, going shopping, joining clubs or groups in the church, or whatever else, now what your soul refuses to touch, to take part in, it's like something that you loathe. Because the word sorrowful comes from the Hebrew word, which could be translated sickness, loathing, languishing, sorrowful. So let's consider it something that you don't like to eat. What would you do? Some people, they would just push away liver and onions. Oh, spinach, not for me. And there's things that, oh, we just don't want to have any part of. Well, a person who's been traumatized, things that they would normally have their soul reach out to, now it's refusing to touch, and they're treating those things just like you and I would push away something that we disdain. And what we can gain from this is that they're going to withdraw. They're going to withdraw from friends. They're going to withdraw from society. And sometimes they even pull out of church. That's sad that they do that. It's sad that they choose to do that. They're doing it out of fear. They're doing it because their heart is heavy. They're, as we're going to see later on, they're not really being able to see that there's any hope, and they're really struggling in their lives. And they need you, and they need me to help them. Let's move on to Job chapter number 7 and verse number 4 and also verse number 14. Look what it says. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise and the night be gone? And I am full of tossings to and fro under the dawning of the day. This, when shall I arise and the night be gone? Can you picture a child on December 24th? And they're going to sleep and they're wondering, when is it going to be daytime? When is this sleep going to be over? When will it be time to wake up? And I just can't wait until this night's over because I just can't sleep. That's the kind of the idea of the word that's here. When is the night going to be on? When am I going to rise up? And here what's happening? They're tossing to and fro under the dawning of the day. Verse 14 says, then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifiest me through visions. People who've been traumatized, they can't sleep. Sometimes they just cannot sleep and they're restless. And they constantly wake up. But sometimes they can't sleep because while they're sleeping, there's events that they try not to remember, they try not to think of during the day. And then at night, these things come back to haunt them. I remember dealing with a young man when I worked at a sex offender treatment facility. And he had witnessed his uncle who had been shot. He'd come up along the side of the house, and he was just coming to the front porch when two men walked up onto the porch and shot his uncle dead on the porch. He saw this, and he's only like 13 or 14 years old. And so when he was, for crimes that he had done, he was put in placement, and I was a worker there and trying to help him. And I remember He was just a good kid all through the day until it became time to go to bed. And that's when he would act up. And that's when he started wanting to get in fights with people. That's when he started becoming mouthy with individuals. He tried to get out of his room. And I couldn't understand what was going on until I read his file. And then his file is when I learned about what I just shared with you. So I sat with him one day and I said, "Hey, look, I've noticed that you've been acting up when it's time to go to sleep. Are you acting up because when you go to sleep, you have dreams that you don't want to remember, and you're just trying your best to just keep from going to sleep?" And he sat on the edge of his bed as we sat in the doorway, and he just hung his head and said yes. I said, "Why don't we do this, okay? I can't break the rules and let you out into the hallway, but here's what we'll do. When it's time to go to bed, you can sit on the edge of your bed here, which is right by the door, and the light's going to shine in. And if you're quiet, you can do your puzzle books or whatever, seek a word or whatever it is, and you can stay there, and you can fight falling asleep until you just can't fight it anymore. And then when you just decide to flop over in bed to go to sleep, that's what'll happen. You think that'll work?" And he said, "Yeah." And you know what? For him, his behaviors disappeared because he was fighting going to sleep, because when he slept, it was not a sleep like you and I have. That spiritual battles that are taking place on the lost and even on the saved can creep in even into our dreams. And they lose sleep. And sometimes they lose sleep not only because they can't sleep, but because of the visions and dreams that they have in sleep is just distraught to them. And that's what makes them wake up. Let's go to Job chapter number 7 and verse number 11. "And a person who's been traumatized feels trapped." Look at verse 11. "Therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak," pardon me, "in the anguish." And I'm looking up what that word would mean. And anguish comes from a word that means a tight place, which is where, you know, we could get the phrase, "I'm between a rock and a hard place." And so here he says, "I will speak in the anguish of my spirit," or "I will speak in my spirit that is really trapped." And that's the way my life is. And that's what Job says. "I will complain in the bitterness of my soul." And so here a person who has been traumatized is trapped. They can feel great physical pain. Look at Job chapter number 14. And we're going to look at verse number 22. Job 14, 22 says this, "But his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn." People who've been traumatized can have physical pain because they've been wounded deeply in their soul. They have emotional pain. They're constantly battling on this emotional level. And then it starts to show up as physical pain. As I shared in a place that I spoke recently, the mystery disease is fibromyalgia. It's not a mystery, and it's not even a farce. It's a true diagnosis. And usually, not always, but usually the onset is a highly emotional event or experience, which for what we're talking about is trauma. And the symptoms for this is just pain in various spots, which are all over the individual's body. And where is this coming from? It's not in their head. It's not psychosomatic. It's not, oh, they're just attention-seeking. A person's experienced great emotional wounds that may have come from physical pain, physical assault, being molested, battling in war. It could be growing up in a home there's so much domestic abuse. It could be seeing a parent die or losing a parent. All of these traumatizing events have an effect on a person's body. And we'll look at just a few more on our next broadcast. So, until the next time, God bless.